Romans chapter 13, verse 8, he says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." God calls us to show the love of Christ to others. God calls us to love one another. It's a commandment here to love one another. Last week it was talking about we should pay the taxes that we owe to our government. Today we are told to first not owe anyone money. It says owe no one anything. But he continues on with the principle, but to love one another. That's what we owe. In Proverbs 22:7, it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." We need to owe no one anything. He's continuing the previous instruction to pay our dues, whether it be taxes, fear, or honor. This principle could be extended to any kind of indebtedness, which causes all kinds of other problems. Slave to the lender. Don't owe anyone anything. At the beginning of Romans, months and months ago, we owe the world the gospel as well. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." We owe the lost world the gospel. We need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be telling the world the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." We owe the Holy Spirit our obedience. We owe the Holy Spirit our obedience. And then like we said in Romans chapter 13, verse 6, we owe the government taxes. And here it goes on in verse 8, we owe others love. Owe no one anything except to love each other. Something that we'll never be able to pay back. True love is something that when you give it, that person cannot pay it back. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and said, "I'm paying for your sins," he knew there was nothing we could do to ever show him the love that he showed us. That is true love. It's something that can never be repaid. He says here it's to fulfill the law. This is what fulfills the law. Again, we are no longer under the law. But once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have our salvation, this is what fulfills the law, is the love of Christ flowing through us. And he continues on here, verses 9 and 10, and he chooses five of the human relationship commandments to illustrate his point here. And the first one he says is, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Paul begins with a sin that directly affects the family. It could go down from generation to generation. It's something that the world doesn't even care about anymore. But when we understand true love, we would not commit this. When we understand the love of Christ and when we understand how the love of Christ fulfills us and fills us up, we would not allow this to happen. Each and every one of these five commandments here can be fixed with just love. And that's what he's saying. The commandment, when he says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," it's a commandment which protects your spouse. Because if you love your spouse, you won't do it. Also, your neighbor. It protects your neighbor. Because if you love your neighbors, you would not commit adultery against them either. He continues to go on, says, "Thou shalt not kill." I would assume it's pretty simple. If thou love thy neighbor, this would not be an issue anymore. It's a hatred that we have in us that the human side of things, that we want to kill each other. We hate each other. We don't like each other. If you have love at all inside of you, murder is not even an option. He goes on to say, thou shalt not steal. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Again, here we find the grace application of love towards the law against the theft. The truly loving thing for a thief to do is not simply to stop stealing, but to begin working so he will have something to give to those in need. Giving can fulfill that void. Giving can help fill a void where they think they have to steal or they have to rob or they have to do something. But again, it goes back to love. Love one another. If you love that person, you're not going to steal from them. If you love somebody, you're not going to kill them. If you love, you're not going to commit adultery. He goes on and says, thou shalt not covet. Same thing here. If we don't covet, if we love, we won't covet. We'll be happy for that person. We'll congratulate that person. So many times in the world, we want what the other person has. We think that grass is greener on the other side. Until you get there and then you realize that you were wrong. They got as many problems as you have. Love can fix all of these. And that's why at the end he says, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this thing, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That sums it all up. Takes care of all the commandments. Takes care of what we need to do after we have our salvation. Love thy neighbor. The words briefly comprehended literally mean headed up. In other words, all the laws dealing with our relationship with others can be headed up with the words, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you love your neighbor, none of these commandments will ever be an issue. The love of Christ will be pouring out of you. You won't have to wonder if you're committing any of these because you have the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. He goes on in verse 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Every single second brings us closer to our full salvation. The Apostle Paul is not talking about our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on that cross of Calvary, when you say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I've messed up. But I know that Jesus Christ went to the cross for my sins and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You have salvation from that day on. But what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is there's justification, which we get at the minute of salvation. There's sanctification, which is an ongoing process, which we'll never get right, but we can try and we can work towards that. And there's glorification when we get to heaven with him in the air. And he's talking about the rapture here, or he's talking about our death. We can look at it a couple different ways. Time is a valuable thing. As a kid, it didn't bother me very much. But the older I get, the more time is valuable. We each have the same amount of time in a day. Nobody has more time than me. Nobody has less time than me. We all have the same amount of time. But it's how we choose to use our time. I don't know if this is a creepy thing or not, but I found on the internet, it's called a death clock. If you want to know when you're going to die, go to Death Clock. I don't know if Death Clock, I don't know. I just found it. So looked up a couple different people. Tiger Woods is going to die October 11th, 2049. That's what they say. Again, they just do it by mathematical statistics. So it's not some. Donald Trump is going to die March 25th, 2020. We're getting close to that, so we'll see if they're right. But I typed mine in, September 13th, 2054. And when you pull it up, it starts to begin counting down how many seconds. I don't know how many seconds. It was like 1,270,000. I don't know. Maybe it was billion. Hopefully it's billions of seconds. I don't know. But it's about 35 years. And when you begin to watch that second begin to tick, it's creepy, but at the same time, it begins to make a realization. This life is short. Now is the time. The Apostle Paul is taking him and saying, wake up. Now is the time. We don't know if we'll have tomorrow. We don't know if we'll have an hour. We don't know how much time we have. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. But what about your neighbor? What about a loved one? What about a family member? And with technology, you can make it as easy as possible. If you want to send them an email, send them an email. It's at least opening the door. Find ways to share the gospel. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Martin Luther said, we should live with the day of our death constantly before our eyes. We get so wrapped up in this life. We get so wrapped up in our finances and our job and everything here, the physical, that we don't think of eternity. Life is short. Eternity is significant. He's telling them to wake up. Wake up. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are we closer to the rapture than we were then? It's a pretty simple question. Pretty simple answer. Are you closer to death than you were the day that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Salvation is nearer than when we believed. That glorification, having our glorified body, being in the heaven, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, is closer than it was yesterday. The Apostle Paul says, the long night is over and the day has come. The coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, Billy Graham, when he preached, he often tells the story of a grandfather clock whose chimes range every hour. Once for 1 o'clock, twice for 2 o'clock, and so on. One night, the clock malfunctioned, causing the chimes to ring 13 times. A little boy heard it and raced through the house yelling, get up, everyone, get up. It's later than it's ever been. It's later than it's ever been. Did you ever think we'd see 2020? I thought I was going to die in Y2K. I was 18 years old, and Y2K was, everybody remember Y2K? 2000, the year 2000, all the computers are going to crash, and the world's coming to an end. I don't know. We're in 2020. 2019, but we're in 2020. Now is the time to wake out of sleep. We have no idea when the rapture will happen. We have no idea. I hope I live way past 2054. Again, it's just a fun little thing to look up, but it puts you into the reality that life is short. Now is the time. The word salvation means deliverance or safety. Again, he's not talking about our salvation. He's talking about when we get to heaven. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin through faith in Jesus Christ. But we are still awaiting deliverance from the presence of sin, which takes place at the rapture. At that time, our body will be redeemed. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. What a day that will be. What a glorious day when we meet him in the air. He goes on in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The Apostle Paul here is talking about the change from being saved, from being unsaved to saved, from going to the darkness to the light. And many of us can have salvation, but we still try to walk the line. We still try to stay on the fence. We try to live in sin. Why does it always compare it to darkness? I don't know if anybody's been to a bar before, but I don't think bars have any lights inside of them. If you go in, it's always dark because it's part of it. Sin is normally associated with darkness. Darkness is sin. My mom always said, there's nothing good going on out in the world after 10 o'clock. Darkness is associated with sin. And he's comparing that to us. Unsaved to saved. It's daytime for us now. If you are a believer, it's daytime. You see the light. You know the light. Quit turning around and going back to the darkness. Follow the light, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us, including myself, were guilty of sleeping in. It's easy to give up. As children of God, many believers, we push the snooze button. We roll over. We go back to bed. We go back to sleep. The Apostle Paul says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. He goes on, he says, cast off the works of darkness. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Cast off the works of darkness. He tells us to get rid of that stuff. Get rid of that, what we're doing. Put on light. Let us put on the armor of light. When you wake up and understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, we don't live for him to not be punished. We don't live for him to try to have a good life. We live for him because of the love that he has for us. When you begin to realize that he hung on that cross for you, when you begin to realize that he was beaten, he was mocked, he was spit on for you, the conviction inside of you should say, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. Yes, Lord, I want to be in the Word of God. Yes, Lord, I want to get away from darkness. Again, that sanctification process will never be perfect. We're going to stumble. We're going to fail. We're going to backtrack. We never lose our salvation. But we need to work towards that light. The armor. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Talks about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And it's a battle each and every day. Each and every morning we get up, we have to make our decision whether we want to follow or whether we don't. Ephesians chapter 6, you can start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and by the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to take the whole armor of God. We talked about it a little bit last week, but we can't come on Sunday morning only and expect that to be enough to get us through the week. It needs to be an hourly thing. Prayer needs to be the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. But we need to be in the Word of God daily. We need to wake up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to start my day out right, and today's going to be a great day, and I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. Are you feeding yourself more darkness, or are you feeding yourself more light? It's almost like a dimmer switch. You can have 100% light, you can have 0% darkness, you can have 20%. I mean, we sit here and play around with it. We want to be lukewarm. We don't want to stand up for what we believe in. But he tells us what to put on. The armor is a complete set of armor from the helmet all the way down to the shoes. He goes on in verse 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, I hear many times that we say, maybe this is a sin, maybe it's not, or we don't know what sins are, or, you know, and I'm not going to sit here and pinpoint what a sin is or if that's a sin or not. But if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will know whether we're living in the light or darkness. If we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to sit here and debate what is a sin and what is not. There's no need for it. He tells us to walk honestly. He tells us not to walk in rioting or drunkenness. We need to always be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us to put on Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Paul is talking about our experience, not our position. We are all children of God. The Apostle Paul only wrote to believers. So even here in Romans, he's writing to believers. They're already saved. They're already Christians. He's not telling them, okay, this is what you got to do to be saved. But now that you are saved, this is what he calls us to do. He calls us to love. He calls us not to commit adultery. He calls us not to kill, not to steal, not to bear false witness. He calls us to love thy neighbor. Walk in light. Put on Christ. Walk honestly. Everything you do, each and every day, walk honestly. We teach our kids each and every day to be honest, to not tell lies, not to do this or that. But we may fudge numbers. We may change something. We may say, oh, it's not a big deal. We are the example to our kids. We need to live honestly. The Apostle Paul is begging the Romans to bring into practice with their position. We are already in Christ. We have already put on Christ the day that we put our faith and trust in him. And at the end of verse 14, he says, but put on ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Each and every one of us have different things. We don't have to talk about what, like I said, what our sins are. But we all have temptations. We all have struggles. If we battle with alcohol, don't walk in front of the bar when you walk home. If you struggle with alcohol, don't have it in the fridge at the house. If there's different things that you struggle with, find ways to go around it. Don't put it there to tempt you. The death clock is ticking for all of us. There's nothing I can do to stop that. It's our choice how we live our life. It's how our choice how we take each and every second of the day. It's our choice what we do with our time. Now is the time of salvation. It's the dawning of a new day. It's the time to put off the deeds of darkness. It's time to put on the armor of light. It's time to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. It's time to get serious about your faith. It's time to stop sleepwalking through life. Your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I just pray that we'll take each and every second extremely valuable and realize that whatever we do for you is what will last. Life is short. Things here on this earth are going to, material things, physical things, all of it's going to wash away. But whatever we do for you for eternity will last forever. If we help someone, if we lead somebody to the Lord, if we, those rewards will last for eternity. I just pray that each and every one of us will think of death more, at more times. We don't want to think about it. We don't want to be concerned with it. We don't want to, you know, it just wants to be out of sight, out of mind. But we know that salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And we pray that we'll find opportunities to share the gospel, that we'll tell others about the saving of your Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.